Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God bless us today, Lord. Bless us to study and bless us to be prepared and bless us to cooperate with you in what you're doing without getting caught up in the man's problems. Because we walk as a man, let us walk as sons of God, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how do we do that? I want to talk to you about civil war in America. There has been an uncivil war for some time in America between the legally elected government and the left-wing Democrats under the authority of the deep state and their mainstream media, which is being paid by the Communist Chinese and rogue CIA. These refuse to give up power and are intent on a communist overthrow of the country. Their guerrilla forces of Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and later, I believe, Radical Islam are intent on killing innocent unarmed people to terrorize the people into submission. So, what is our job? Pray for them, as Jesus commanded, right? And, of course, pray against the spirits that are doing this, causing this division, right? We're very near to the tribulation when the man-child reformer ministry will come to the church, and then this war will spill over to a world war, and that is in Revelation 6, 1 through 4. And of course, we know this is the seals that Jesus opened of the tribulation. And he said, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, the first one, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, come. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon had a bow. And there was given unto him a crown, and he came forth conquering and to conquer. There's no reason to believe that this white horse is not the same white horse in Revelation 19, of course, with the Lord Jesus on him. And I want to tell you that at the beginning of the tribulation, just like all the types and shadows in the Bible, the white horse came. In Moses' time, that was him. He brought judgment with him. This white horse rider is bringing the following seals with him. And this is the man-child ministry that God is raising up, in whom Jesus lives by his word and by his spirit. He is coming, riding on a horse of flesh. And it says, and there was given to him a crown, and he came forth conquering and to conquer. And when he opened the second seal, now here, this is right after this coming of the one who brings the judgments like Moses did against Egypt in order to set God's people free, right? And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. And another horse came forth, a red horse. And to him that sat thereon, it was given to take peace from the earth, and that they should slay one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. This is a world war, probably the first really true world war. Yes, so these problems, I believe, are going to spill over into that. We don't need the world war now, right? We can pray against the world war now because it's going to come just a little bit later here after the man-child ministry comes. And so I just want to let you know that because some of this stuff may be about that war and not this war leading up to that war that I'm going to share with you, or it could be both, okay? So I'm going to share that with you. But first, Christians are not to take part in the physical warfare. They're to contain their activities to sharing the gospel with both sides. That's our job. Because you can have a wonderful people who come out of the left. Paul was one of those leftists. He was killing Christians and so on and so forth. Very angry, very factious. And the Lord arrested him. Who was praying for him? I don't know. Somebody was. So it's both sides that we share this with. We're not to judge man after the flesh, nor are we permitted to judge those that are without. That means those who are not born again. We're not permitted to judge them. They're just doing what comes natural. They are victims of their father, the devil, and it comes natural to them to do the things that they do. Okay? They are being ruled over, and we can pray for them, and God will save some of them, right? We're supposed to do the spiritual warfare that's against the demonic forces that are behind this catastrophe. Jesus said, love your enemies. I just believe we're supposed to, as Christians, obey the word of God. If we do it, we'll have God on our side. He said, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. That's Luke 6:27. Verse 28 goes on to say, bless them that curse you and pray for them that despitefully use you. That's the Lord Jesus' commands. We do that all the time. We got a faction we pray for all the time. We pray the Lord will open their mind, their understanding. We know that they haven't repented and that they are trying to be a deceivers. But we still pray for them because we want to see Paul's to come out from this, right? Yeah. Praise God. The Bible says that we're not supposed to wrestle with flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness. Who is ruling this darkness? It is the devil. Now, if you had authority over the devil, you wouldn't have to exercise authority over the people. The world rulers are doing this against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Yes, that's what we're supposed to do. We've been given authority over them. Jesus said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Start praying against the enemy, the real enemy, not the flesh that the enemy is using, but the real enemy behind the scenes. You wrestle with flesh and blood, you're going to lose. That's what Jesus said. So, if you can't wrestle with flesh and blood, can you war? Can you kill? Can you pick up weapons? If you do, God promises that you will die. Jesus said, all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Listen to what he said. Matthew 26:52. Now, this is in the New Testament. The Old Testament is a parable of the New Testament. What you see in the letter in the Old Testament has to be translated to spirit in the New Testament. They warred with men. It's a type of our warfare against the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. In the New Testament, which is the covenant we're under, Jesus said, don't do it. John 10:35. Scripture cannot be broken. What did he just say? All they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Scripture cannot be broken. Revelation 3:10. If any man shall kill with the sword must he be killed. See, God is, I know that there is an excuse in ignorance, but it can also get you killed. God gives grace to people when they're ignorant. When they know what the word says, then they're held responsible. Okay. If any man shall kill with the sword must he be killed. It's been spoken since Genesis, right? And it hasn't changed. If any man is for captivity, into captivity he goeth. If any man shall kill with the sword must he be killed. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. In other words, here's where you will need to be patient with the enemy and to exercise your faith in this circumstance and situation. Your faith will save you. It'll save the people around you. It'll bring an end to wars. It'll do all kinds of things, wonderful things. Just think, if you really believed what Jesus said, he said, when you pray, believe you have received and you shall have it, right? He said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. So why is it nobody has power in prayer with God? Because they don't believe that he answers prayer, even though the Bible clearly says he does. And since they don't believe, they don't get their prayers answered. That's why people don't have any power in their lives, is they don't listen to what Jesus said. He said, everything you pray for, believe you received it and you shall have it. Everything you pray for. Yeah. So if you attempt to save your life by fleshly means, you're going to lose your life. Matthew 16:25, for whosoever would save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now he's talking about losing your old life here. Your old life is the guy that goes out there and kills and maims and does what the other people on the other side do too, right? You're just like them, right? Now just remember, if you as a Christian lose your life, you go to heaven. But if you kill someone who is a sinner and he dies, he goes to hell. Going to heaven ain't bad. Going to hell is real bad, and it's for eternity, too. So can you lose your life outside of the sovereignty of God? No, you can't. It's not possible. If you study the sovereignty of God, you find out that God is ruling over this earth, and a man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven. Did you understand that? There's only one ruler who is sovereign. It is God. It's not the devil. The devil is permitted to do things because men permit the devil to do things. And they agree with the devil. And he is the God of this world. And Christians many times are worshiping the God of this world rather than the God of heaven. So you don't receive anything if it doesn't come from God. He says, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. That's Matthew 10:16. Have you ever seen a sheep kill a wolf? How about even bite one? No. God never makes holy wars. There's no such thing in the new covenant as a holy war. He did not give you permission to wrestle with flesh and blood, ever. He gave us permission to wrestle with the principalities and the powers of this darkness. Countries are killing other countries. People are killing other people. And it's all because of lust. Just think, if you're going out there because of patriotism to defend your country and you're killing people on the other side who claim to be Christians, you're killing Christians. They're ignorant too. You see, our kingdom is not of this world. A lot of people don't know that. They think our kingdom must be America. So we fight for it. We kill for it. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, my people would fight. You see? So we live in a different realm, and we're a different kingdom, and we are one holy nation. All around the earth, we are called by Peter, one holy nation. That's right. And it's not America. And why do I say it's because of lust? Well, James 4:1 says so. Whence come wars and whence come fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your pleasures that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and covet and cannot obtain. Yes, he calls it killing. Oh, my goodness. Well, I thought the preacher said, yeah, that's right, you did. You thought he said that. But he was wrong. It is killing. It is murder. You kill and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. And you have not because you ask not. You see, what he was telling them is you need to be praying. Not repeating what the wicked do on the other side, on your side. We need to pray. You have not because you ask not. People are not content with what they have. And you say, what if Christians obeyed this? Who would defend us? Well, there's plenty of people that'll do that. Churches are full of people that'll do this. Well, we're not talking about churches. We're talking about disciples of Jesus. Besides, God would defend you. But also, he has other vessels to do this physical warfare. President Trump and company can do this if you pray for them, right? God has all kinds of vessels out there. But there's only one vessel that is a holy vessel that is holy unto the Lord and is actually walking in his kingdom. If you walk on the earth, you're going to get stepped on. But if you walk in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, there is safety. Okay. At the time these Civil War dreams came to me a few years ago, I was asking for the Lord to randomly give me a word, and it was Jeremiah 42:10-12. And I'll give it in text here with the warning not to go to Egypt, to trust in the arm of the flesh to save you from Babylon. And also in Ezekiel 17, when his people ran to the great eagle of Egypt, in the context, there were two great eagles. They ran to the great eagle of Egypt to save them from the great eagle of Babylon. They were both called the great eagle, which this means we're talking about a civil war. Yeah. Babylon was called the great eagle. America is called the great eagle. Yeah, there's a civil war in America. It's the great eagle against the great eagle. So don't be caught on the side of Egypt, which is called trusting in the arm of the flesh by God. Because if you do, you're going to get beat. Babylon beat them. If you want to do the forces in America good, don't go out and fight with them or side by side with them. You're going to bring a curse on them because God can't let you win that way. So God forbids this trusting in the arm of the flesh instead of him, and he doomed it to failure. Therefore, we must not trust in the power of man, as in the right wing, to save us from the Babylonish deep state. We must not trust in the power of physical weapons, but wrestle with the principalities and powers of this demonic darkness. And here's the text that was given to me that I was speaking to you about when these Civil War dreams came and I asked for a confirmation, and this is what the Lord gave me by faith at random. Jeremiah 42:1, And I'm just going to read all the way down to 21, 22, I think. No? And then into the next chapter. A little bit through 4, okay? So listen to this carefully. Because we've received this quite a few times in our morning meetings. And the Lord warning again not to put our trust in the arm of the flesh or man's power or weapons or whatever. Put our trust in God. Then all the captains of the forces. There you go. There's the forces, right? And Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshea, and all the people, from the least even unto the greatest, came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, Let, we pray thee, our supplication be presented before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, and thine eyes do behold us. Basically, they had been conquered by Babylon. Much the Babylon deep state, by the way, has run the world for a long time now. Has run America for a long time now. Presidents have tried to stop it and been killed and so on and so forth. And a lot of people have been killed. A lot of people knew what happened to John Kennedy. If I remember, there was like 300 people were assassinated after that. That's right. They'd have done better to pray. That the Lord thy God may show unto us. This is the captain of the forces now, you know. That the Lord my God will show unto us the way wherein we should walk and the thing that we should do. Now, we just studied the thing we should do and the way we should walk. And you know what? A lot of people listening to me are not going to pay a bit of attention, just like this guy didn't. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, The Lord be a true and a faithful witness among us. Really good, white, righteous words, but they were very hollow. If we do not, according to all the word wherewith the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. In other words, we will obey. Whatever you say the Lord says, we will obey it. They lied. Because their God was a God of forces. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Good sounding words. But if people don't have a trust in God and their trust is in their forces, they're going to use their forces. And so they ran to Egypt to get their forces and they died there. Yeah. Verse 7, And it came to pass, after 10 days, that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him, and all the people from the least even unto the greatest, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplication before him. If you will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down. There's your threat right there. If you stay here and don't run back to Egypt to submit to the old man. You remember what Egypt represented and why God said don't ever go back that way? The Egyptians died in the Red Sea baptism. Paul called it a baptism. A death of the old man who ruled over the new man, which was the Israelite. So he said, don't ever go back that way, because he never wanted somebody to backslide. In other words, to go back under bondage to the old man, you see. So he said, never go back that way. So he's angry when people trust in the arm of the flesh, like everybody did when they lived in Egypt. They made the bricks, right? If you will still abide in this land, then will I build you and not pull you down. I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Verse 11. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him. Well, I say the same thing about the deep state. Don't be afraid of them. Trust in the Lord your God. Now, if you go out and make war with them, I can tell you what's going to happen. They got bigger and better weapons. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Yeah, they were afraid. And their fear caused them to trust in the arm of the flesh. That's what fear does. The devil sends a spirit of fear to conquer you. He knows what you're going to do when you got fear come on you. You're going to do what you can, what you can. You're not going to trust in God because that's faith. Fear is not faith. It's faith in reverse, right? It's faith in the devil, faith in the curse, etc. So if you got fear, you're not going to have faith. And he's telling them, don't be afraid. Trust in the Lord. Stay here. Do what the king of Babylon commanded you to do here, you know. Of whom you are afraid, be not afraid of him, says the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will grant you mercy, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. Amen. Well, their land was the promised land. It's where people believe the promise. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, so that you obey not the voice of the Lord your God, that is in the promised land, right? Standing on the promises, right? Saying, no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. Well, that's what they thought, but they were wrong, because they had angered God, and God sent Babylon down there after them. Now, therefore, hear ye the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you indeed set your faces to enter into Egypt and to go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you fear shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. So he's saying, if you go trusting in the arm of the flesh, the flesh man was the Egyptian, the one who died in the Red Sea, and the spiritual man was the one who came up on the other side, the Israelite, right? If you go to trust in that old man and you do your own works to save yourself, instead of God saving you, instead of believing God is sovereign and a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven, so you really don't believe the word, you're just mouthing Christianity and you're not there, right? So he says, they're going to catch you in the land of Egypt. And the famine whereof you are afraid shall follow hard after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. Why does he write all this stuff? Well, according to Paul, it is for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. He wrote this for us. Can you see the message there? Can you see the parable there? The most dangerous thing you can do is trust in the arm of the flesh, because God is sovereign. He can save or he can kill. He said, I kill and I make alive. I, even I, the Lord of hosts. You think man does that? No, a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. Verse 17, he says, so shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. That's the three things that the Bible says Babylon will use to destroy the apostate people of God. Over and over it says it. Well, have we been seeing that? Yes, weapons, famine, they're destroying the food, and pestilence. And we, of course, we've seen the pestilence, but we haven't seen the end of that either. They've got bigger stuff to throw. Trust me. And none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. None of them. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my wrath had been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my wrath be poured forth upon you when you shall enter into Egypt. And you shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. Well, it's still true with the faction that we've dealt with in the church. I mean, what a curse is on them. And they died. They don't have any spiritual knowledge of God or ability to follow Him or conscience to follow Him. They died. Okay, what if you go out there and physically do the same thing? Well, this is what He's saying. Same thing. You're going to die. You can die in the flesh. You can die in the spirit. The worst is to die in the spirit, because that's eternal. But if you die in the flesh and you turn your life over to the Lord, you can be saved in the spirit, right? Verse 19. The Lord has spoken concerning you, O remnant of Judah. Go you not into Egypt. Certainly, that I have testified unto you this day, for you have dealt deceitfully against your own souls. For you have sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And I have this day declared unto you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God in anything for which He has sent me unto you. Now, therefore, know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. And I want to tell you, those that faction and run down to Egypt, they're going to die. They do die, they are dying, etc. In the place whither you desire to go to sojourn there. They're going back to Egypt. God said, never go back that way. He warned them sternly. And when He sent Babylon to rule over them because they were in rebellion against Him, they were in apostasy against Him, He said, obey the king of Babylon. So He didn't say make war on him. He said obey him. And, of course, prophecies like Ezekiel 17 speak about them rebelling after making this covenant with the king of Babylon and rebelling. And God said, well, you broke my covenant. Yes, right, because God said for them to submit, and they weren't. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, wherewith the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshea, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. Yes, I've had people tell me the same thing while I'm telling you this same thing. Thou speakest false. Except I'm just quoting God. That's all I'm doing, you know. Thou speakest, because they don't want to believe you. Thou speakest falsely. Yeah. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say. Okay, we sent him. They said they sent him to find out and that they would obey when he came back. And they didn't. You shall not go into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans. That's the Babylonians. That they may put us to death and to carry us away captive to Babylon. Well, if you noticed, it really wasn't anybody else. It was God who was saying this. And if they rebelled and went down to Egypt to trust in the arm of the flesh, they would die. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Egypt. And they went, of course, down to Egypt, and Babylon went down there and conquered them. And also Isaiah 30 is a stern warning not to trust in Egypt, but to return from their fleshly works to trust in the Lord. And Isaiah 31 through 3 says, woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that make a league, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that set out to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to take refuge in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the strength in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. You know, just a few years ago, a bunch of preachers decided they were going to leave the United States because they knew big trouble was coming from the beast against them. And basically, I told them that they were trusting in the arm of the flesh, that they should trust in God, that come out from among them has nothing to do with physical, it has to do with spiritual, that we do have to come out from among their ways, their thoughts, their sin, so on and so forth. And some of them learned and heard, and some of them didn't. And but I'm telling you, some of them received that word, and they didn't run, and others did. So it's the same today. I know some people, when they're fearful, they do foolish and wrong things. But if they trust in the Lord, they rest in him. And verse 7, 30 and 7. For Egypt helpeth in vain. You learn no lesson. You haven't learned to trust in the Lord, which is what he loves. You're trusting in the arm of the flesh, which he curses. For Egypt helpeth in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I called her Rahab that sitteth still. And verse 15, for thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In other words, don't go down to Egypt. Come back and just rest in me. He that hath believed doth enter into that rest, right? In returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And you would not. But you said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall you flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. In other words, okay, you're going to run. Well, they're going to outrun you. And of course they did. So let's look at a few dreams that we've had over the years about civil war. These are the most simple ones that we have. Some of them are more intricate, and some very interesting. And this was American Civil War coming. Marilyn Klink received this on 7/28/2009. In the dream, a godly sister in Christ and I were at some train tracks, watching young men board the train. The young men were dressed in American Civil War uniforms and going off to war. Well, dreams are about the future. They're not about the past. So what's this connection with the past here? Well, it's clearly telling us that this is the kind of civil war that we're entering into. Just, it's a repeat of history. The things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. And, of course, Abraham Lincoln, the Republican, the right wing, was trying to hold things together, and the leftists were making war against him, just like they're doing Trump right now. The sister and I implored them not to go, telling them that this war would not be good and that brother would end up fighting brother. This is true. No one would hear our tearful pleas. They just kept boarding the trains. And I noticed that in addition to each soldier carrying a rifle, they also had a small pack or tray of seedling vegetables, like you plant in your garden in the spring. I understood the part of the dream about Civil War coming, but was puzzled over the seedling vegetable plants. I felt that somehow the plants represented in some way the disruption of food or crops because of the Civil War. Well, guess what follows, you know, the war in the Bible? Famine. Yeah. Economic collapse, famine. But after praying, I also thought that they might indicate that the war would start in the spring. Well, could be. It could be the big war coming in the spring. It looks like Planet X is coming in the spring or shortly thereafter. And that will be a great catastrophe to the earth. I imagine people will stop warring with each other when this is going on. Perhaps this dream has some relevance to the events we see coming to pass now. Well, this was in 2009. It's gotten a lot worse and a lot closer to what she's talking about. Civil War in the U.S. is this next dream. It's Kenneth R. Atnip, Sr. received this dream on 12/18/2010. He said, "My 16-year-old daughter, Mary Ann, had a dream a few days ago. She dreamed of civil war against the current government. Well, of course, that's the current government whenever the dream is speaking about, right? The scene was very chaotic, and those in rebellion to the government were going house to house, forcing any and all men to join with them. Well, yes, they are. They're trying to get people. Have you noticed? They're telling people, kneel down. Confess your allegiance to our communist regime. And people are doing it because of fear. You know, they're doing it. Many of us Christians were in hiding, not willing to join in a rebellion against the government. That would be right in these days, the Christians, the Christ-like ones, you know. They would not want to rebel against a good government or a bad government, really. Romans 13. And I'm going to tell you what turned things around. I know that Obama had a plan, or those over him had a plan, and the plan was, of course, we'll conquer American Christianity, we'll fill it full of Muslims. So he was doing that faithfully, and they had a plan to jihad America. And the people of God who understood things did pray against this, and God did it. It wasn't man. God turned this around. He brought in Cyrus to conquer the Babylonians. You can say it wasn't Cyrus, but Trump is doing exactly what Cyrus did. And the Babylonians are doing exactly what they did, which is fail before Cyrus. So anyway, the right wing will be a threat against Christians who will not kill too. Just remember that. They're going to want you to fight for them, right? And they're going to be angry if you don't fight for them. And basically it's the same silliness about people not wearing masks. They think you're a traitor if you didn't wear a mask, but then they found out that it really wasn't the danger they thought it was in the first place. But you're a traitor, right? They didn't believe in God, but you're the traitor, right? So, she awoke in the middle of the night with a strong taste of blood in her mouth. Her 13-year-old sister, Amy, woke up as well and immediately asked her what was wrong. The 16-year-old said that she had the taste of blood in her mouth, to which the 13-year-old asked, "Were you dreaming of war?" Somehow she knew that she was dreaming of war. Yeah. Last November, my 3-year-old son, Jeremiah, slept with Mom and Dad, and he awoke at 5:30 a.m. yelling, "War is coming. People are dying. People are crying to God." He has no idea what these things are. It woke me out of a dead sleep, and I sat up and looked at him. He was wide awake and startled, telling of hearing a noise. Pop, pop, pop. He kept repeating. All day, he kept talking about the big balloons coming and looking out the window. He said, "Maybe they won't come. Maybe they will pop." Now, I believe this is saying this is becoming a shooting war here. Now, let me just stop and say this. Dreams, some people say if dreams don't come to pass, they're automatically wrong. Well, that's wrong because dreams come in two ways. They can come as a prophecy of what will come. They can come as a warning of what will come if you don't do what you're supposed to do. And quite often this happens. And when you do what you're supposed to do, which pray is to pray against something that is evil and wrong and, you know, going to kill a lot of people or whatever, unless God tells you this is his will, which he has frankly told us that he's bringing this war to chasten apostate Christianity, to bring the fear of the Lord back and to cause them to repent and get back in the Word and find out things like we're talking about right now, which they deny. So you can pray against things. For instance, the left has tried to start a war several times. I mean, purposely, false flag and all, tried to start a war several times. And the right wing was smarter than that. Both here and in Russia, they were smarter than that. They didn't fall for it. So it failed. But they tried to cause a world war. Can you imagine how evil these people are? Yeah. So the false flags are not over. Both sides use them. And then Kenny Atnip on January the 2013 sent this. Some time ago, God showed me and some others that America would enter an internal war. You can call it civil war or revolutionary war or anything you like, but it is coming. And God showed me plainly that many Christians would be tempted to be part of a war against the government, and that this war would be part of his judgment on the USA. What did he say if you rebelled against the government and went forth to fight and wrestle with flesh and blood? He said, you're going to die. And this is one way God's going to separate the obedient Christians from the disobedient Christians. Because the disobedient Christians are all going to go out there and fight a war. Even though God says plainly in the Bible what it is and why we're not supposed to. And he goes on to say, and we should not get involved. And the Lord told him that this would be a part of his judgment on the USA, and we should not get involved. And kind of like the prophet told him, don't do it. Don't go down. Don't go down to Egypt. But they didn't obey. The current government's actions are because of God's judgment. So, he who resists this government resists God's ordinance. Global war is coming as well. Well, we just saw that, right? Global war is coming as well. And America will be attacked. And after all of these things, I saw a time of peace again in the land. America will be humbled and once again look to God as its provider and defender. Oh, there it is. If we get humbled, that's what we're going to do, right? Trusting God as our provider and defender. And the message to Christians here in America is the same that Jeremiah told to Judah. Submit to God's judgment and it will go well with you. Resist and it will cost some their lives and others their freedom. Amen. Amen. And Hans Petter, in June of 2008, said, I started to see a movie in the spirit. The first act was that Obama was elected as president. He was the door opener. Yes, because they did not know they had a communist there, a Muslim communist. He was the door opener for the next thing that happened. Dark skies came over USA with thunderstorms. People were fighting against each other in the streets. There it is. Listen, this is it's all across the land, the leftists and the rightists, you see. All across the land. That's the way this kind of a war can happen. Tires and cars were burning in the streets. Are they? Yes. People were really suffering. Are they? Yes. Screaming for help. Oh, that's good. I mean, if you are screaming to God for help, right? And they had nothing to eat or a home. It was a hard time. The cities were burning. Are they burning? Yes. And I saw a gap start to split the nation. This is what faction does. It started in California, it moved forward across the nation, and ended up by the East Coast north of New York. Both are having extreme problems because they've got extreme liberal governments that won't defend the people, only defend the sinners. They only defend the wicked. Yeah. Why people vote for people like that, I don't understand. I can't understand it. Anyway, this is civil war, this division going down the middle of the country. This is a civil war. And we've been in the rhetoric part, the uncivil war, and now we're getting into the militant part, where people get killed. So they used this example of a person who was a criminal, in and out of jail all of his life, and nobody's condoning what happened, but we don't really know what happened because it was a false flag. And nobody wants to wait and let the law take its course. Nobody wants to wait for the evidence. False flags are meant to deceive people. This was a false flag. And so to justify this, they went out to kill innocent people who'd never been to jail. Does this make sense? Well, to some people who don't have a brain, it makes perfect sense. Pray for them. Pray for them that they'll look at this and say, wait a minute. It was 2 days ago, they'd killed 15 innocent people. And one man who wasn't innocent got killed, and they used that for an excuse to go out and plunder and steal from everybody and kill. All of which is evil. We're supposed to be a nation of a law, right? And they don't care. But communists don't care. Communists do not care for law. They have this rebellious spirit in them. And when they get what they want, then they're totally miserable. Just go and ask anybody that lives under a communist regime. Everybody's poor. Everybody's under the thumb. Everybody's ruled over like a bunch of slaves. Everybody. But their teachers in college didn't tell them that. So here's Act Part 2 here. Then people started to pray for help and ask for help from Jesus. Okay, why did you wait so long until so many people were dead? You know, I saw two eagles, and he has in parentheses prophets. That might be his interpretation. I'm not sure, but we just looked at two eagles, didn't we? They came flying from the east, and behind came Jesus. And healing came to the USA, and Jesus restored the cities and people's life. Well, relatively speaking, and you can't say in every part of the world, but relatively speaking, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation are the judgments are natural judgments, not necessarily wars, one right after another. President Trump has done his best to stop the unceasing wars because they make their money off of killing people and sacrificing people to Satan. That's how the elite makes their money. He knows that, so he's drying up their resource by stopping the endless wars. And then this was from Darren Smith, June of 2009. Last night, while praying before I went to bed, the Lord gave me a vision that really rattled me. In the vision, I saw this land split into four parts, with each one under its own flag. Each region had terrible destruction, and many people were dead. As I looked over the destruction, I was crying, and the Lord asked me, "Why are you crying over the fall of Babylon?" Oh, a thought. Why are you crying over the fall of Babylon? Well, we know that Cyrus came to conquer Babylon and set the people of God free to go back and rebuild their kingdom, the kingdom of God. So he's here, he's doing it. Ultimately, Babylon will fall. We're in a battle right now. You may not win every battle, but you ultimately will end up repeating history here, and Babylon will fall. And so the Lord said, "Why are you crying over the fall of Babylon? As a matter of fact, why have you been praying for the healing of Babylon?" Good point, Lord. Really good point. You know, we don't want to fix the old corrupt regime. Nobody's been able to do that. It's got to die. Nobody's been able to conquer them. They've got to die. So, we don't want Babylon. We want the kingdom that follows Babylon. Because, by the way, God's people were set free under the kingdom that followed Babylon, which was Cyrus. They were set free to go back to their land, out of bondage to the old man, back to their own land, to rebuild the kingdom of God. And by the way, God's people have been in bondage in Babylon for many years. It was a great falling away. And it's time for us to go back and rebuild the kingdom. The only thing you can rebuild the kingdom with is the pure word of God. They just take mostly Babylon and a little bit of Jesus. Quote a verse or two here or there. They don't want to take the sum of thy words, which is truth, because that would destroy their theology and their walking in the flesh, and they would find out that they have to take up their cross to follow Jesus. And they don't want to do that. So you see, Christianity needs a cleansing of these people who are not Christians, and all they're doing is leavening the whole lump. So God's going to do it. In this vision, I didn't have any answer, and the Lord opened a scroll and started reading off the indictments against this country. But before each one, he clearly called the USA Babylon. Yes, that's exactly what it has been. The list was long and to the point, with such points as killing of several generations of unborn children. Oh my goodness, you thought we got away with that? No. Can't be. The most innocent among us, they're going to murder. That comes from Babylon too. They're murdering babies to sacrifice to their Lord Satan. Yeah. Besides, this charge, he added that these babies had been sacrificed to the god of self. Uh-huh. This is all talking about abortion here. The god of self. It's all about me. It's not about the little innocent baby. The list also included greed, idolatry, pride, fornication, and many others. So many I could not even read them all. Yeah. As I looked at the list of charges, I was overwhelmed and broken by the fact that we live every day in a nation that is so far removed from God and in total opposition to the kingdom of God, yet we are comfortable here. Well, he is so right. He got a revelation there. And the churches are so far from God too, and so far from the kingdom of God, walking in Jesus Christ, abiding in him, obeying his words, so far from that, that they are not Christian, though they profess it. Christian means Christ-like. The only way you can find out what Christian is go back and look at the life of Jesus and what he said. And I'm telling you what he said, and some of you are not listening, and you might die for it. So it is, so far, we're in a great falling away. A great falling away. How do we find out the truth if we don't go back to the original New Testament and study it and walk that way? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. That's why people's prayers are not answered. They're not abiding in Christ, and his word does not abide in them. If that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, then you abide in the Son. Oh my goodness. So they're not abiding in the Son. And what happens when you don't abide in the Son? You don't bear fruit, and they break you off as a limb and throw you in the fire. That's what Jesus said. See, God doesn't want a American Christian or any other nation Christian. He doesn't want that. He wants a real Christian, a believer. And the demand was, repent and believe. The demand was not accept, because you can go in any church and accept everything you see there and still split hell wide open. It's not accept the Lord Jesus Christ, especially the Lord Jesus Christ which you've made for yourself, who smiles on your sin and doesn't hold you to the Bible, right? So basically, if you abide in him, what happens? If that which you heard from the beginning, that's what was written in the book. It's not something that the preacher says today that's contrary to the book. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, then you abide in the Son and in the Father. So if you want to abide in him, which is the only place you can bear his fruit and the only place you can have safety, go back to the Bible. Forget looking for better and better churches. Go back to the Bible. Read the Bible. Then you'll know what a church looks like when you come across one. Church means the called out ones. What were they called out of in Jesus' day? The churches. Because they were all apostate. They'd all gone their own way, just as the Lord said. And just as Paul said in Romans, they've all gone their own way. So, but you can go and learn from the experts who wrote the New Testament, who sat at the feet of Jesus. And he goes on to say, we have become just like Lot, a lot living in Sodom, Lot living in Sodom. The prosperity that the nation offers us has blinded us from the evil that rules this land. Amen. We complain about how bad it is, but still stay attached to it with every ounce of our strength. Yes, it's true. He said, the Lord told me to look at the nation as He sees it, not through my eyes, but through His. And I could not look too long before I had to agree and repent of loving Babylon. Once I repented, the Lord told me to prepare for the fall as time is running out. Prepare for the fall of Babylon. Yes, indeed. Babylon is that entity which has captured the United States, but is being forced out by the Medo-Persian Cyrus. I must preach the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of America. America is already judged. The time of shaking is now and will increase rapidly. Well, okay, I believe it. I believe judgment has to come. And here's what we call civil war with the left. Sue Farah received by faith at random this parable of civil war in the United States on 11/11/18. The full story is in chapters 19 through 21 in Judges. The portion she received was about the conquering of the perverse left wing. Yeah, exactly. This is at least the second time recently that we've received this. I wrote this back then, 11/11/18. And we've received it many times since then. It is the story of the tribe of Benjamin, who defended perversion in the form of gang raping a defenseless woman in their midst, much like the satanic deep state and their radical Muslim allies are known for doing to men, women, and children. The demonic party, the Democratic Party, has defended and taken part in this like Benjamin did, and factioned against Israel, who stood against this perversion to both of their destructions. The right wing had a setback, but ultimately wiped out Benjamin. Judges 20, 43 through 46. They enclosed the Benjamites round about and chased them and trod them down at their resting place as far as over against Gibeah towards the sun rising. And there fell of Benjamin 18,000 men. All these were men of valor, but these are all people who stood up for these perverse people in their midst. And they paid a really bad and heavy price, almost wiped out the tribe of Benjamin. And they turned and fled towards the wilderness unto the rock of Rimmon, and they gleaned of them in the highways 5,000 men. In other words, they killed 5,000 more of them going down the road, and followed hard after them unto Gittim, and smote of them 2,000 men. So all who fell that day of Benjamin were 25,000 men that drew the sword. All of these were men of valor. But they weren't a holy people, or they wouldn't have defended the perversion in their midst. So all Israel set an ambush, much as the Trumpites have done to the perverse left wing, in watching them cheat, steal, and rape while gathering proof for the tribunals. And, of course, that's why they're fighting so fiercely now. They don't want to go to the tribunals. They don't want to their sins to be revealed. And, of course, they own the mainstream media, who is not going to talk about that. And Benjamin was taken down to 600 men, the whole tribe down to 600 men, and was almost extinguished as a tribe, which is going to happen to the deep state. Not necessarily 600 men, but at least an extinguishing of it so that it no longer rules in America. Don't worry, folks. If you're pitying their fall, they'll be back. Around the middle of the tribulation period, they're going to make war against the saints. The communists are going to be making war all through this land against the saints, because now it's their tribulation. They've heard the word. They know what it is. If they walk in it, fine. If they don't, they're going to die. Okay, here's what we call walls in America. Actually, Ken Dewey called it that. And it's a prophecy about civil war. And he got this 11-11-18. I woke up early in the morning. Turning in bed, I looked at the clock, and it was 2:22. Well, that is the number of division, 2. It's the first number of division, right? Proverbs 2:22 is a revelation, too. Listen, Proverbs 2:21-22. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the land, and the treacherous shall be rooted out of it. Wow! That would be cool. But just remember, part of the land here is Christianity. There is a judgment not only coming upon the people in America, but also upon Christianity. And yes, they are burning churches, just like we told President Trump almost 3 years ago that they were going to do it. Even told them who was going to do it. We told them Antifa was going to do it. And so, anyway, Ken goes on to say, I said to myself, what does that mean? I've always been aware that God speaks in numbers, meaning, what is this 222? With special meaning in the scripture, I got out of bed and went to prayer, and this is what I heard. Well, what I just shared with you is true. You know, 222 is division, and the wicked shall be cut off from the land. But now here's what he got. Look at the first 2 days of creation. And see, I did separate light from darkness and waters from the waters. I separated the land from the firmament and made heaven. Yeah, so, you know, the first 2 days of creation, there was a lot of separating. Well, what do we got in America? A lot of separation, a lot of polarization, right? And then he said, I will move the two, earth and the heavens, and I will bring awakening. Yes, there is a great awakening that the people who have been pledging allegiance to America are going to be shocked to find out how corrupt and decrepit and evil it actually is. And then they can get delivered from that evil spirit of patriotism, which is pledging allegiance to this flag. We don't pledge allegiance even to God. He doesn't want us to pledge, but our allegiance has to be to God. not to some flag that's totally antichrist. And when this awakening comes, you're going to find out, and everybody else out there is going to find out, that this nation is antichrist. I will be known by men to be the creator. I think that could be partially because he's going to judge and take down what no man has ever been able to take down, which is this deep state communist elite. Men have not believed or wanted to believe that I exist, and now I will show them my creative power. I will shake everything that can be shaken, and they will be forced to see me. Well, I think earthquakes that split the country will be part of this judgment. Not only that, Planet X is going to pass through, probably in the spring or shortly thereafter, next year. And it will shake everything. Everything. Okay. See that a 20 divided by 2 is 10. This is still the Lord speaking to him. And then add the numbers 10 and 2, and you have 12. And 12 is a number for my governmental perfection. See, this governmental perfection has nothing to do with the Republicans or the Democrats. By the way, there's a whole bunch of Republicans that are totally corrupt too. They've been bought out. They've been caught in revealing positions. They've been seen doing very, very evil things and are blackmailed into obeying the elite, right? And 10 is the number of completion of testing. Yes, 10 days. I move now to bring men to see my government. Yes, they're going to see it in the man-child and in the two witnesses. They're going to see it. And in the bride, because these are people who are obedient to God's government, not the church. The church has rebelled, at large, has rebelled against God's government. And they followed the wicked, the false prophets, the false leaders. So he says, I move now to bring men to see my government, and I am the Lord, and besides me there is none other. I am your only God, and I rule, and none shall speak or correct me. For I am your God alone. I will soon take back my earth from men who have tried to strip it from me. Yes, he will. Men have moved against me, too, both male and female. So he spoke about 10 and the number 12, and now he's speaking about 2. Both male and female, and I will move to complete my work for all to see. I will reveal my reasons for making 2, male and female. Some people think there shouldn't be a difference. Duh! They don't know much about anatomy, do they? And all will know the difference in my 2. Right. Praise God. Such perversion in America. It is Sodom and Gomorrah. See that there are now 2 walls in America. There is the border wall, which many do not want. And then there is another wall built right across America, dividing the land. The boundaries were plain to see in red and blue. There it is. The right and the left wing. The red and the blue. The boundaries. Stark standing out in the vision. The ball was plainly built, and men would fight over it. Yes, how ironic. The division of right and left is partly over the border wall. And the right and the left clearly identified in the scripture as the sheep and the goats. While I heard the above words, I saw a vision and heard sounds, and this is what I saw and heard. The sound of rumbling of war machines, guns, and bombs. I saw the bullets flying over the dividing wall in America as the two sides fought. I heard then the words civil war, fought, men dying, blood in the streets. This caused me to remember again the several times now I have heard the Lord speak before about civil war coming again to America. Yes, many people have heard this from the Lord, civil war coming to America. And now we're in it. We pray that people will repent before it gets bad. We know it's going to bring revival. In the end of these words and visions, I sat there knowing that we are entering right now into a very dangerous days in America. The time is very short for this nation. America's land will never again be the same as it has been, but is changed by another civil war. I knew that the second war was to be much worse than the first and would leave the nation divided into parts. Yep. And I want to say that the dreams and visions about America being divided physically are dreams and visions which point to the spiritual problem too. I have seen America ceasing to be America as it is and becoming a battleground which would divide into pieces or sections. Unlike the first civil war, this new civil war will divide permanently men from men, land from land, and there would be separate governments arise from the aftermath. Many will arise to fight again for freedom. They will have their place, but those fighting against freedom will also have their place. You know, God has all vessels, from vessels of honor all the way to vessels of dishonor, and all in between. He uses everybody. But if you want to be a vessel of the highest honor of God, you obviously have to obey the word of God. America will never be as it has been, united again, but it will divide and be less than it has been in the past. Like the Soviet Union divided and fell, so will this nation. Yes, and I've shared much on the videos about the fall of America. And its weakened state did not defend it against the other nations who gathered together against America at the end. And it wasn't until a lot of people cried out to God that there came an end to that. Okay, here's a word too from Ken Dewey, Prophet Ken Dewey. Catastrophe looming. This could be a mixture of the judgment of the war and the judgment of Planet X. Don't know. Early today, I heard the Spirit speak and say, catastrophe. This, by the way, was September the 8th, 2018. I heard the Lord say to me, look up the definition of the word. So I went to the dictionary to research the meaning of catastrophe. A noun. Number one, a sudden widespread disaster. Any misfortune or failure. Fiasco. Number three, a final event or the conclusion, usually an unfortunate one, a disastrous end. The Lord said, write it down. I want you to understand the word catastrophe, for you must know, and unfortunately, I must warn you all that a monumental event will happen soon, which will divide America into pieces. Okay, well, I think the earthquakes from Planet X is part of that, but also we're seeing, leading up to that point, the dividing of America as a people. America is like a spinning wheel fixing to explode. Pieces will fly away, and the force of the event will bring great controversy. The results will be great and disastrous, throwing America further into the darkness of the evil time night. The spirit of the Antichrist has worked his work thoroughly, setting the stage for the coming event. Oh, see the magnitude of his work on so many souls in America now. See the distortion and the confusion that is reigning. This nation is on a collision course, and the crash is at the door. Did I not say the day would come when wrong will no longer be considered wrong, and right would no longer be considered right? Boy, have we seen that, I tell you. Yes, turned around backward, it is now. Men think backwards. Even in churches, we witness vain teachings, contrary to the written truth. Truth has fallen in the streets. Men continually imagine vain thoughts. No longer is there any restraint. Now the Antichrist will move his players farther into his plans to dominate the world and capture the complete. Yes, a dreadful day indeed, when all that is holy and good is considered evil. Yep, this is the spirit of Antichrist that John spoke about in 1 John. It was with them then, and it's with us now. Did I not warn you? Have I not said, his day is surely to come, even as sure as my holy word speaks truth. So time is suddenly here. The spirit of evil works. To all who have ears to hear, then hear. Now a great catastrophe is sure to come, as this evil day rules in the heart of so many. Oh, watch them run. In the darkest night, not even able to see through. See them stumble and watch them fall headlong into the fire coming. Watch the day of catastrophe events, for darkness rules the majority. To you who have ears to hear and eyes to see, prepare, I say, brace yourselves. For the days ahead will be dark and dangerous, and none will be able to stand without faith in and upon the solid rock. The only sure foundation now is up under me in my secret place. Know that I am with you to work miracles of deliverance and provision. Know that I will help you who know and hear this warning. No, I am, and I have not changed or forsaken you who know me and choose me over all the evil days ahead. Quickly coming, I am, walk with me. Come away from the world now and forsake their darkness. Reject the spirit of evil men and turn to the holy road in the desert. I will walk with you, and you will be safe and blessed. But know and fully heed this warning. Any of my people who compromise now and days ahead will fall down hard, and in pain of loss they will lose. Lives are many that will be lost because so many of those who know me yet compromise away my truth and walk in rebellion of their flesh. Prepare, I say, prepare, for the shockwave of the coming catastrophic will shake all in this America land. The once bright light of truth and freedom is now diminished and darkened by the counsel of the evil day of the spirit of evil, the Antichrist. Warning, flee to me and be safe, or fall with the confusion. So, what is our choice? If we can't trust in the arm of the flesh, we have to trust in God. We have to use the authority against the faction demons that are causing this war. We have to use our authority to save God's people, both against the demons of their doctrines and the demons of their leadership and the demons of their organization and the demons of the judgment. If you don't do the problem, if you don't deal with the problem, you cannot change the results, right? So I wanted to encourage you with this. I enjoyed reading it after the first time I did. It's called Gag Order. It was given to Sandy Shaw, 11-12-17. In a dream, all of local UBM is gathered for a meeting. We were all sitting down on white wooden chairs. All of us had our heads bowed, eyes closed, and hands at waist level with palms up. In other words, worshiping the Lord. Amen. At rest, humble, and waiting to receive. Standing in front of us, but not literally, were all the previous factioned people. They were speaking against us with a lot of word curses. One was standing on the right, but she didn't utter a word and had tears running down her face. One of their leaders was standing in the middle of the factious group and seemed to be the angriest, attacking us all individually by his words. Simultaneously, they were saying each of our names and the rest was indistinguishable. I wasn't sure if I was the only one hearing what was said or if others heard it too. I was tired of hearing it. I was tired of hearing all the word curses over us. I said, Lord, what am I going to do? The Lord said, look up. And I did, and I saw the words, gag order. And then I woke up. And in parenthesis, she said, this is clear. Let us give the gag order. Well, amen. Wikipedia definition of a gag order is a gag order, also known as a gagging order or suppression order, is an order, typically a legal order by a court or government. Now, of course, this is all legal when the Lord tells you to do it by his government, right? Restricting information or comment from being made public or passed on to any unauthorized third party. Well, of course, if it's slander, if it's gossip, it is passing it on to an unauthorized third party. And if you don't have two or three witnesses, you are in error. You will be judged for it. The phrase may sometimes to be used of a private order by an employer or other institution, like God. Yeah. So, brethren, you know we're talking about two factions here, right? Let us exercise our authority over the faction and bind their slander, railing, witchcraft, and faction in the government and in the church. We have orders to give their demons a gag order, just like Jesus did. Mark 1:34 says, "And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many demons, and he suffered not the demons to speak," there it is, "because they knew him." He had authority over them speaking or not speaking. And I've done the same thing. I've commanded them to shut up, and they do. And so we do, you know, since Matthew 18:18 says, "Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven." So, on the government side, we bind, in the name of Jesus, the lying spirits, the factious spirits, the witchcraft spirits, the slander spirits, the gossip spirits. We bind them from speaking and infecting other people around them, because that's how it goes. They speak it and it infects these people. Now, it's God who delivers these people over to this demonic possession, and it's because they sinned and they began to justify their sin, and the next moment they're gone. Yeah. And in the world, the same thing, you know, people justifying themselves are delivered over to the demons of the witchcraft and the satanic. Believe me, they are working witchcraft against people, and they've brought down many who were so-called right-wing people, but right-wing people who were judging wrongly and who were living in sin themselves, brought them down. I was talking about this woman who was a real conservative commentator. You know, she married a Muslim. The next thing you know, that seed took over, and she was no longer a right-wing person. Yeah. So, in the name of Jesus, we bind these demons from stirring up faction and division. We bind them in the name of Jesus Christ. These signs will accompany them that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know this is going to take effect when it's supposed to. I also know you've got a chastening coming to this country of people who are in rebellion, and they've got to have a spanking. But we're not speaking in time, just as you taught us. We speak the end from the beginning. So we're speaking it now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we command the angels to go forth and conquer them. We bind their slander, railing, witchcraft, faction, in Jesus' name. Luke 10:17, "And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fallen as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy." So who are serpents and scorpions? These are types of demons. "Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Amen. And Sandy said, I received by faith at random Daniel 11:18. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many. But a prince shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Yea, moreover, he shall cause his reproach to turn upon him. Oh, did you know that the Lord said, I will curse them that curse you, and I will bless them that bless you? That's not written to the faction, because they're not Christian. It's written to the Christians. So when they curse themselves. That's what God said. Then he shall turn his face towards the fortresses of his own land, and he shall stumble and fall and shall not be found. Well, amen. So he caused the reproach to come upon himself, and he stumbled and he fell, and he could not be found. This is what we've been told is going to happen, although from other verses. And here's another one. This is called the Restraining Order Dream, given to Sandy Shaw, 11:24-17. In this dream, I'm at the end of a long park, and I need to get to the other side, but I don't know why. To the left of me, I hear voices arguing, and it's getting pretty heated. But yet, when I looked in that direction, I see no one. But I kept walking and started praying. In other words, these were demons, right? And started praying, asking the Lord to calm their temper and to not let it escalate to a fist fight. I'm still walking, but I'm up above observing also. Then from afar, from the left side, I see a demon running fast and then charging at me. And that's when I started yelling at myself, turn around and rebuke that demon. But I didn't hear me. But then I remembered the gag order. And if God honors a gag order, then he will honor a restraining order. So before that demon could hit me, I issued a restraining order in the name of Jesus. So right in the nick of time, it had to turn around and run the other way. So I was relieved and at peace. And then I woke up. Yes, indeed. He said he gave us authority over all the power of the enemy, right? Restraining order, gag order, whatever's necessary. Matthew 18:18 and verse 19 says, Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. So, Father, we pray and we come against and we restrain the demonic activity against your people, your holy people. We forbid it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we know that the judgment is against the Babylonians, which is the harlot, which is the apostates. We know that they have a legal right there against them, and we do not restrain that. This chastening must happen so that the revival can come and people can come to repentance. So we put our trust in you, our Lord, and we thank you for the victory. And I'm going to give you one more here because it's kind of a restraining order. And the angels take care of that. You know, we all have, as they say, guardian angels. We do. their ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation. If you're not inheriting salvation, they're not for you. They won't help you. And many Christians are not inheriting salvation. So, yeah, so this is Sandy Shaw, 10/31/17. In a dream, I was in a large woods that had a lot of pine trees. I could smell them and was standing there enjoying the fragrance when all of a sudden I saw something charge at me. I thought it was a beast, and then abruptly it stopped in front of me, and it was a demon-possessed factious man that we know. At first, he was telling me to turn around and go back where I came from. Then he started telling me that UBM was a cult, and you tell me about twisted words. That's all David does, the demon said, you know. Yes, demons do that. They don't like the Word of God, and they make war against it, and they get people to make war against the Word of God. Amen. Then he started using very foul language. He kept yelling all this stuff and worked himself into a frenzy. And he said, I should just go ahead and kill you and put you out of your misery. So when that happened, I just bowed my head, lifted my hands, palms up, and prayed. Lord, please send your angels to defend me. So then a big angel was standing in front of me. He put his hand out and put it in front of the man's face, but he didn't touch him. He then went flying backwards until he was out of sight. And then I woke up. So yes, angels can do this. They do this. They will defend you better than anything in the world can. If you trust in your arms or whatever, you can fail. But you can't fail trusting in the Lord. I received by faith at random this text for this dream. It was Psalm 5 and 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee do I pray. Well, amen. And he heard, and he saved, and he spared. So call upon the Lord. Let him be your first and your last thought, you know, when you're come against by the wicked, you know. Let the Lord be that. Let him be your Savior. He wants to be your Savior. His power is made perfect in weakness, the Bible says. Weakness is when you refuse to save yourself, but you put your trust in him. And that's when he's powerful. That's when he does miracles. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this word, and we ask, Lord, that all the brethren out there will hear this word and hearken and put their trust in you and do spiritual warfare. That's what we're called to do. We have something that the worldly people can't do, even the worldly right wing, the Republican Party, the Trumpites, and so on. Even those people, they can't do. Many of them are trusting in what Trump can do, what the government can do for them, and so on and so forth. And we're thankful for those things. But they're trusting in those things. And Lord, that is displeasing unto you. And I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, get their eyes on you, Lord, and give you the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, saints, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we'll do this again sometime. Don't forget, do warfare. They need help right now. It's all over the nation right now. They're needing help. So be praying for them and be praying for the church and for the bride, et cetera, and the man child. In Jesus' name, good night.